The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And, you know, it was saddening for so many of us when Trump lost in 2020. Somebody said he didn't lose. But here's the point. If he had won, he would be coming to the end of his second term right now. Now they got to deal with him for another 4 years. That should teach them. If Donald Trump had won in 2020, we would have had a problem. We would have had to continue to deal with the COVID and all kinds of things, and things would not have been accomplished, and he would have been blamed for everything under the sun. That didn't happen. People were able to see side by side the conservative philosophy versus the progressive philosophy.
We did something that was really epic. We won a battle that a lot of people thought was very hard to win, you know, too big to rig. Remember what I said, too big to rig. We make it too big to rig, we're going to win. And it really was one of the great political victories in the history of our country, and that's good. They said one of the very big radical left newspapers said the most consequential election in the last 129 years. So we won all seven swing states. And not only did we reclaim the White House, we also took back the U.S. Senate, and we won the largest popular vote majority for House Republicans in a presidential year since 1928. That's a pretty good thing. We worked hard on this. We knew bad things happened in 2020. And if I didn't know that we won in 2020, I wouldn't have done this, because it would have been like the ultimate poll, right? But we won by a lot. And this time we said, look, now we got to really win by, and we won by so much. They just, you know, they threw all their placards. They wanted to protest. They were all set. And at about 9 o'clock, they said, man, this guy's killing us. They threw the placards. They went home, and we had no riots. We had no anything. It was a beautiful thing to watch. That was a big defeat for them. Nobody expected the numbers. And all 50 states shifted toward the Republican Party, every single one of them. And we got the highest share of youth vote of any Republican ever before in history. Election of 2024, our movement not only won a mandate, but we built new American majorities all over the place and will define our country's future. I believe it's going to define our country's future for generations to come. An age of America is upon us. It is. It's going to be a golden age. There's a spirit that we have now that we didn't have just a short while ago. Since the election, the stock market has broken one record after another. The biggest gain of stock market after an election in history. That's a good sign. In a single month, small business optimism soared 41 points, which is a record. That's a record. Bitcoin has surged to an all-time record high of $108,000. Congratulations. And all over the world, people are investing now. They're starting the investments, and it's going to be a beautiful thing with the jobs. But they're calling it the Trump effect, because even before taking office, we're already bringing in the jobs and opportunity and safety and common sense back to the USA. We're bringing common sense back. Maybe that's the most important thing. The thing that brings people together is victory. It's winning.
The golden age, it's off and running. That's Donald Trump, and before him, Ben Carson at AmFest over the weekend. I think that's in Arizona, Turning Point, Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA. I thought it was interesting. We've talked so much about backfiring, you know, all the attacks on Trump and how that they've backfired in some cases in just a spectacular way. Here he is. Well, Carson is talking about how that if they just would have, this is the same point General Flynn made. Just let him go, and his second term is ending right now. As it is, they have to deal with him for four more years. But for Trump's part, Trump's there saying, you know, if it were not for the stolen election, I wouldn't be running. I know I won. And that's why I came back as strong as I did. And then, I mean, who can deny all of these victories that he's been claiming over the last couple of months? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We have a lot to get to. Surprise, surprise. There is a lot to cover, I should say, on today's show. You can get to this show, by the way, at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Rumble, by the way, big Rumble promotion over the weekend. The views on Friday's show right now stand at 124,000. And I think we picked up 330 or 40 followers because of the promotion over the weekend as well. I think that's close to a record, at least as far as Rumble promotions go. So we're inching closer to 10,000 followers. And that's not too bad considering we've only been on Rumble for a couple of years. I think we started with just a couple hundred followers back at the beginning of 2023. So almost 2 years on from that, we've picked up quite a lot of new viewers, new followers. LFA, for its part, I think Rumble gave it some promotional help over the weekend, too. 64,000 views on Friday's show. So altogether, I mean, Friday's program really is drawing quite a lot of attention to the show. Some exciting news there as far as the numbers go. I don't think we'll quite get to 10,000 followers by the end of this year, but that will be coming soon, I'm sure, as we head into to January. So you heard President Trump there, quite a few strong statements, as you would expect. He's now just less than 30 days away from inauguration. All of this breaking news, it seems, almost every day with his incoming administration. And then over the weekend, you may have seen it on Truth Social, he's saying, hey, if Panama doesn't ease up on some of these taxes and fees with its canal, we may just decide to take it back. And he's lambasting Jimmy Carter for giving it away for $1. I think the Panamanian president said, it's ours, we're keeping it. And Donald Trump responded to that saying, we'll see about that. What a difference in these administrations. I mean, over the weekend, you've got this subway attack in Kathy Hochul's New York State. This illegal migrant who had been deported, I think he's from Guatemala. He comes back after being deported. He finds his way to New York City, and there's a sleeping woman on the subway, and he lights her on fire and then watches her burn to death. And then the same day or the same weekend, you have Kathy Hochul taking a selfie with people at the subway, and she's there bragging about, well, how much her policies have made the subway so much safer. How out of touch can these people be? I mean, there's a woman burned alive in New York City, in the New York City subway. And you've got the governor of New York saying, I'm doing a pretty good job. Yet another example of, yeah, I think these protests are mostly peaceful. As the flames go up behind the talking head, that's exactly what happens to Hochul this weekend. So out of touch. Clueless. What a difference in administrations. It's easy to see why so many Trump supporters are saying, hey, the golden age is here. What a difference. You've got Jimmy Carter saying, you can have Panama back for nothing, the canal. And Trump says, look, we lost 38,000 lives to malaria and everything else as we dug this trench. And it helped the whole world. We give it back, and then Panama sticks it to the United States, just like you would expect. And Donald Trump says, enough. It's going to stop. it's refreshing to at least see the difference. I mean, my father and we have a whole booklet basically on the Panama Canal, giving it back, how that this is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Mr. Armstrong talks about the significance of sea gates in this book right here. How that America and Great Britain acquired most of the sea gates in the whole of the world. And then we just gave them back. And then we just turned it over to, in some cases, our enemies. What a significant, whether or not Donald Trump has success in taking it back, who knows? But I mean, this is what a resurgence looks like. We haven't seen this in decades. Now just give it back, appease, throw money to the wind. I mean, there's some pretty good indications that Trump's administration's probably going to do that too, but we'll see. We'll give Elon Musk an opportunity, Vivek and all the others, to tighten our belts, financially speaking, to trim the fat, to downsize government. Boy, that'd be amazing if that's actually even possible. Musk said on a little clip I saw on social media, people don't like to be downsized. They want to see it keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's going to be a fight. But coming back to this Panama story, Sundance says there's not a single intellectually honest person who would doubt the intent and the focus of Donald Trump to protect and defend the vital interests of our nation. President Trump's perspective on the biggest of big pictures can never be denied. It's so obvious. America first. Panama, you better deal with it. You deal with it. President Trump is directing focus toward the U.S. vital national interest in the Panama Canal with a direct and brutally honest message to the government of the nation who benefited from the most significant engineering accomplishment of all of the Americas. President Trump is not mincing words about our American position. My father has talked about Panama Canal and its significance to U.S. security and even its survival. The booklet I mentioned is China's dangerous move against America. Yeah, Panama gets it back for nothing and then invites the Chinese in to have some control over it. Isn't that a smart move? Of course not. And yet that's been the way of these radical leftist administrations, thinking that just giving up power will make the world love us. That's not how that it's been working. What a difference in these two. Like Ben Carson said, they're in the cold open. I mean, the one thing about stealing the election in 2020 is now you've got Jeroboam and Antiochus side by side. And you can look at them. You can compare them. And Americans did do that on November 5th. And they said, enough of Joe Obama. Enough of the dear leader. Enough of the fake president. Miranda Devine, she weighs in on that Wall Street Journal bombshell from last week that we didn't have time to get to on Friday's show. A fake puppet presidency. This booklet my father wrote, China's dangerous move against America regarding Panama. My father says here, but the biggest problem China poses to America is being largely overlooked. This is something that American politicians especially want to forget. Perhaps even the American people want to forget it because they share the blame for allowing this maneuver to happen. This problem may prove to be the most insidious move by China against America in history, and it will plague the U.S. in the near future. I'm talking about China's takeover of the Panama Canal. We give it back to Panama for nothing. And then China helps themselves to this strategic sea gate. Genesis 22 and verse 17 is the prophecy about this. It says that in blessing I will bless you. This is what God says to the descendants of Israel. That would be the United States and Britain primarily. In blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And as Mr. Armstrong explains in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, gate there is referring to sea gates, vital passing lanes all around the world, Suez, Panama, you know, Gibraltar. You could go right down the list. It used to be controlled, so many of them, by America and Great Britain. Why? How do we obtain that kind of control and influence? And why were we so quick to give it away? We just gave it all away at a fire sale price, pennies on the dollar. And now Panama, the CCP behind them, said, hey, if 70% of the traffic through the Panama Canal is, if they're U.S. ships, let's stick it to America. Why not? And Trump comes along finally and says, enough. Enough. What a difference. You've got the two administrations side by side. My father says here, Deuteronomy 28 specifies gates, plural. An accurate translation of the Hebrew word, saurika. But here in Genesis 22, it's from a singular construct of the word, the gate. It's just one. Which gate could this be? Which one is God singling out as the main fulfillment of this blessing from God? My father says, I don't believe any sea gate could be called the gate except the Panama Canal. The canal has served the world for decades. It was a great gift given by God through America and through his outstanding leader, Theodore Roosevelt, and at great cost. Financially and in terms of human life, as I said. In Deuteronomy 28:52, God says that if the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob refused to turn to him, he would cause their enemies to take control of all the very same gates that he had previously blessed them with. And that's happened. And now God's giving it one final pass, as Amos 7 says. One final opportunity to turn to him, to give thanks for these blessings from heaven. The power, the influence, the abundance that God gifted us with. We didn't earn it. God made those promises to Abraham in the book of Genesis, all the way at the beginning of the Bible. He was laying out this plan, and we are the beneficiaries of the blessings promised to Abraham, the great patriarch Abraham. All of this is set forth in the United States and Britain in Prophecy. Mr. Armstrong talks in the opening pages about how that no story of fiction is so riveting. And this is the truth. This was prophesied. This has been fulfilled. We've spent so much time in recent weeks about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy just this year. We're stepping back here today and looking at the bigger picture. How did we acquire those vital sea gates, such strategic importance? How did we acquire the gate, as my father writes? And why were we so quick to just give it up? You know, the other angle to this development is you can see that we're in the early stages of a worldwide trade war. Isaiah 23 speaks of the mart of nations that are going to align against the United States. And we're getting a preview of it now. Jimmy Carter hands it back over to Panama, and then Panama just invites the CCP in. And America has to pay, literally, for that mistake. This is what the tariffs, all these things are building toward. And by the way, the latest trumpet, I didn't bring it with me, the January issue, but we've got one in there about Doge and Elon Musk, Vivek, and Donald Trump's dream of slapping more tariffs on nations internationally and reducing the taxation on American citizens at home. America first. As I say, what a difference. Ben Carson says you've got them there side by side. People can see. Americans can see. The nations abroad can see. And they're aligning to take action, to come together in an alliance, an anti-American alliance. And of course, it's going to be opposed to Great Britain as well. It's building toward an explosion of violence worldwide. World War III. Last week, you had this attack, this Christmas market attack in Germany. And we've been talking about the significance of the oncoming elections in Germany, February 23rd. Germany's Scholz's government collapses the same day that Donald Trump wins the election, the early morning hours of the 6th of November, and then Germany's government collapses. And then you've got the AfD now as favorites in some cases in Germany. And how will this attack, this Saudi Arabian migrant, he rams his car into this large crowd of Germans, killing 5 people, including a little child. Richard Palmer had a fair bit to say about this in the morning brief. If you don't have a copy of that, you can get a free email blast every single day. Well, we send them out multiple times, at least 2 times a day. You can subscribe to those email alerts at thetrumpet.com. Just go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and get a free subscription today. All of our literature, even the hard copies, are offered free without cost or obligation. I've mentioned that little booklet on the Panama Canal. I've mentioned the United States and Britain in Prophecy. You can obtain both of those for free. Just call our operators. The 800 number there, you can see 1-866-930-3024. And start building your library at no cost. At no cost to you. We even pay for the postage. It says here, Germany is gearing up for an election in February. This attack guarantees migration will be a hot topic. So just like in the United States, I mean, it was a hot topic here in the lead up to November 5. And now you can be sure that German citizens are going to be talking about illegal migration, or in some cases, legal migration. It says here, this attacker, this terrorist, arrived in Germany in 2006 and was granted indefinite leave to remain. It says the mainstream narrative is that he converted away from Islam and was an anti-Islam activist who was enraged by Germany allowing in thousands of Muslims and not protecting those who had converted away from Islam. So there's your Morning Joe narrative. Yeah, okay, he was a Saudi Arabian. He was an Islamist. He immigrated into Germany in 2006, but he had since converted, I guess, to Christianity or something. Now he's anti-Islam. That's why he's attacking Christians at this Christmas market. Don't you know? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up. None of their narratives do. He was an Islamist, and he was attacking Christians. And you've got a German election coming up. Let's open our eyes. Authorities and the mainstream media have spent so many years hiding the truth about these kinds of attacks, it's hard to take them at face value when they say the attacker was an anti-Muslim radical. Evidently, there's liars all across Western nations, not just here in the United States media or the American media, the regime media. I think it was the New York Daily News that said about the subway victim, she caught fire. Isn't that nice? Yeah, just, I guess, spontaneously combusted. Yeah, the fire just erupted. No, she was set on fire. There's a difference, you see. There is a difference. These people, the New York Times this morning, Germany tries to untangle complex profile of market attack suspect. It's complex. because the attacker came from Saudi Arabia, and we can't print an article that may seem to be anti-Islamic or Islamophobic. So we're going to tell you it's complex. Do you think it would be complex for them if it was a white Christian nationalist? No, it would be clear as day. Of course. So many of these people, the level of self-hatred, it's astounding. Some of this, though, you see, finally, like I said on Friday's program, this will worship, this whole system set up by Antiochus here in America, it's finally shattered. God did that. Just like God gave us those sea gates. Richard Palmer says here, regardless, he was a clear security risk, this Saudi Arabian guy. People had been warning authorities about him for years, yet he was allowed to remain in the country. People that were around him said, he's a crazy man. They were warning for years and years and years. German authorities did nothing. Now you've got this massacre at the market. And as it happens, we're just 2 months away from an election. Will that election go forward? Or will something more sinister happen behind closed doors? A man coming along with flatteries and understanding dark sentences, just like Daniel 8 and Daniel 11 say? We'll see. Richard Palmer says, these kinds of attacks will help push Germany toward a strong man. That's the significance here. These kinds of attacks, it's just going to push Germany in the direction of a strong man. It's even possible that Germany could change its mind about holding elections and instead form a new coalition. The attack will likely boost support for the far right AFD. There was a clip or a little comment sent out by libs of TikTok. German citizens are getting killed and raped by migrants. And how do you suppose Elon Musk responded to that? He tweeted in response, only the AFD can save Germany. Won't this be quite the turn of events if we see the Trump administration encouraging Germany to embrace a strong man? Yeah, you've got to crack down on migrants. Well, be careful what you wish for. We see whether it's a radical leftist administration that's just handing over Panama, the canal to Panama, or whether it's a conservative administration like Ronald Reagan's that just clears the way for the reemergence of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall. We need Eastern Europe to join forces with Western Europe. It's prophesied. He didn't say that, but he might as well have. America clearing the way for the King of the South. And now you see the oncoming Trump administration. He's not even in there yet, and it's already clearing the way for this Psalm 83, Daniel 11 alliance on both sides in the Middle East. Opposed against or both in opposition to the other? It says here, the German government could cancel the elections, blaming it on misinformation. Well, there you go. There's a few different scenarios that could happen. And we're not, you know, in the know on how everything's going to play out politically, but we certainly know how it's going to play out prophetically. There is one final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire that's prophesied, and it's going to be headed up by a Daniel 8 strongman, an individual coming in the spirit of Antiochus. We've seen what that's like, how destructive that is here in America, and we're about to see it again in Germany. When we come back, we'll follow up on what we rushed through on Friday, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. And of course, as I said at the start, it had a lot of play on Rumble over the weekend. So we'll go through that. Hopefully we can get to that Wall Street Journal piece from last week about Joe Biden's fake presidency. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
I had a front row seat to a lot of this, and at various times was basically told not to believe what I was seeing or hearing. The president misspoke. The president has a cold. But now the dam appears to be breaking.
You had the story in August. The Wall Street Journal began to dip their toe in the water on this very topic, and they got blasted. You've gotten blasted when you've questioned the president's acuity. And Kamala Harris offended that people even bring it up. This is cataclysmic.
And it raises a lot of questions about who was making key decisions. Yeah. You mentioned the Afghanistan withdrawal. If the president was as diminished as this story makes it sound, that would be a huge problem, and it could explain why certain decisions were made that turned out to be catastrophic and why no apologies were ever made.
Who was making these catastrophic decisions if Joe Biden wasn't really president? The Daily Mail last week, Biden was never president. Now we know, like one of the Fox guys says there, for bringing it up a few months ago, you were attacked. But now you've got even some left-wing outlets coming forward and saying, you know what? I guess we should have been harder on Biden and his administration. Well, we didn't know, I guess, at the time. There was so much fakery and phoniness. Even still, some of them stopped just short of saying Obama was the one. A lot more are waking up to that fact. We talked a lot about that when Lee Smith was in here on December 11th. Go back and look at some of those programs, December 11, 12, 13. He's unique in that years ago, Lee Smith was saying Obama is the leader. He's heading up the Democrat Party. Joe Biden represents his third term. It's so obvious. The Wall Street Journal. How the White House functioned with a diminished Biden in charge. How in the world is this possible? And like I said last week on the show, these same people that covered this up are outraged that Elon Musk would have any say in the incoming Trump administration. They're outraged. You see, one CNN guy says, you know what? We should have been harder on Biden, but we've learned our lesson. Now we're going to be harder on Donald Trump. Of course, how easy is that? Go after the bad orange man. Go after Hitler. As if they've never been hard on Trump, by the way. It says here to adapt the White House around the needs of a diminished leader. They told visitors to keep meetings focused. It's not funny. It's not funny when you see someone in sharp mental decline. But that's the point. Where was Jill? Where was Kamala? Where were any of them to say, you know what? You need to be with your family and friends in some privacy, not the leader of the free world. Presidents always have gatekeepers, but in Biden's case, the walls around him were higher and the controls greater. Oh, yes. Now you see all the images coming back. Remember the Easter Bunny that came over to shoo Biden away? Now you can't answer questions here. So there you have the leader of the free world taking direction from a bunny. How about that? It says here there were limits over who Biden spoke with, limits on what they said to him, and limits around the sources of information he consumed. And then it quotes someone on the inside. They body him to such a high degree, a person who witnessed it said, adding that the hand-holding is unlike anything other recent presidents have had. They had to, in some cases, literally hold him by the hand. The dear leader had to grab him by the arm to lead him off stage at that fundraiser with George Clooney. Remember that? It was just a few months ago. Everybody saw it. And yet they kept lying. They kept lying. The regime. It says the shell constructed for the pandemic was never fully taken down, and his advanced age hardened it. He campaigned from the basement. And then they never took the shell away. I mean, you remember Obama in 2020 saying, you know what, I'd like to have the little earpiece and, you know, basically have another term as president and run it from the basement. In fact, the fake leader, the fake president, was operating from the basement. Sure, Obama, I mean, he had all the right things to say. He wasn't just always visible, but every time that he would come out, it would be obvious. He's running the show, just like the George Clooney campaign event. The fact that he moved right down the street from the White House. The fact that even the Biden people would often say, well, I did speak to President Obama. Oh, I mean Biden. Ha ha ha. It was happening all through the years with Biden. The strategies to protect Biden largely worked. That is until June 27th. That was the debate debacle. Further on, this is the Wall Street Journal. They issued a directive to some powerful lawmakers and allies seeking one-on-one time. The exchanges should be short and focused, according to people who received, or rather who reported to the journal. Further on, it says one lawmaker who did get a one-on-one with Biden noticed that the president lacked stamina and heavily relied on his staff. At least one cabinet member stopped requesting calls with the president because it was clear that such requests wouldn't be welcome. At least one cabinet member. Look at that you have the two administrations side by side. With respect to the cabinet members, I mean, every single Democrat voted them through, and in many cases, 20-some Republicans joined on. Just give him the staff that he wants. Now, of course, they're protesting. Hegseth, I don't know. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard, she's dangerous. And you've got these weak Republicans that can't unify over anything. But then these people, they just send them on through. And then you've got cabinet members on Joe Biden's administration that can't even talk to Joe Biden because he's fake. Because he has dementia. All of this happened. It is happening. Guess who the president of the United States is today? December 23rd. That would be Joe Biden. He's supposed to be. And yet you get this bombshell report and people just read it. You've got a few segments on it in the conservative media, in some cases, echo chamber. And yet we just move on. And the man with dementia is still running the single greatest power in the world for the next 4 weeks. Biden's pollsters didn't meet with him in person and saw little evidence that the president was personally getting the data that they were sending him, according to the people. So he didn't get the info. He was shielded. He was in the basement. He couldn't function. People had to come in with an especially focused message. It was, if you could get in with him, that is. This is what went on. Miranda Devine. Well, listen to Victor Davis Hanson as he talks about the regime media concealing this for 4+ years. Clip 9.
This was the greatest presidential fraud and deception since Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in 1919, and Edith Wilson kept that from the American people for 16 months to their internal shame. This is going to be shameful for the rest of presidential history, what they did. They know what they did. And the worst offender is actually not the media, it's Kamala Harris. When she announced the Robert Hur report, she attacked him personally and said he should be ashamed of himself. He's unprofessional for just the idea of hinting that Joe Biden would appear enfeebled before a jury and therefore would be exculpated. She should have got down on her knees and thanked Robert Hur that they gave him that out from felonious behavior. And they appointed Joe Biden as a facade, the Obamas and the hierarchy of the Democratic Party, to play the role of old Joe Biden from Scranton, where they pushed through the most destructive left-wing agenda in modern history. And then when they found out he couldn't even play that role of a waxen effigy, they deposed him in the same abrupt coup manner that they appointed him.
At least he points it back to the dear leader, Obama. What did he say? This is the greatest presidential fraud and deception since Woodrow Wilson. Fraud and deception. We're used to some of that. We have been. Quite a lot of that, in fact, since 2008. So much fraud, so much deception, and yet, just like David Samuel says in that tablet piece from last week, it all came crashing down. Suddenly, it just happened in the last few months. I went through that with you on Friday's show. That's the one that, again, got such good promotion over the weekend. Something like 200,000 views. But if you haven't seen that program, go back and look at it. Obama's fake something, I forget is the title. But it's not the most recent program on Rumble. That would be this one. But Friday's show, if you'd like to go back and take a look at that, I think you'll enjoy it. This is that bit from Chris Silesia, I think, or Silesia. He's the one that apologized, basically, for going soft on the fake president, soft on Biden. But don't worry about that. He has informed you that he's now prepared to really go after Donald Trump because he's learned his lesson. This is clip 10.
So we need to learn our lesson. I think, Donald Trump's going to come into office in his late 70s. We know very little about his medical history. I think we as journalists need to keep asking questions. Have you seen any signs of his mental or physical decline? Now, his aides may just say, no, he's great, 100%. But keep digging. If there are those signs, there will be the people who are worried about it. And we should have gotten to those people with Biden more and more frequently to accurately represent what was happening in the White House, and then let the public make up their own mind. Donald Trump will be the oldest person ever to hold office if he serves for 4 years. And I will be mindful of that because, again, asking those questions isn't a partisan thing. Asking those questions is a journalism thing. And I should have pushed harder and not been as willing to accept the, now he's fine, look at him when he's in public campaign. And I did. Anyway, I'm always want to be as authentic, honest, and transparent with you as possible.
Sure. I should have pushed harder, he says. Now, 4 years later, he speaks for a lot of journalists today, this guy. Now, I mean, I've learned my lesson. No, the lesson is you're part of the regime. The biggest fraud in presidential history, if not history since Woodrow Wilson, the Daily Mail, all the warning signs Biden was senile from day one of his presidency. Joe's catalog of toe-curling gaffes and calamitous stumbles. That's the Daily Mail last week. Listen to Jesse Waters as he summarizes what we've witnessed these past many years, clip 12.
Oh, with the election lost and Biden put out to pasture, Democrats are leaking like a busted sink. The Wall Street Journal talked to more than 50 Biden insiders to find out what's really been going on in the White House for the last 4 years. This bombshell report reveals Biden was even worse than we thought. Joe was AWOL most of his presidency. During major disasters like the Afghanistan withdrawal, congressional leaders couldn't even get a hold of him. Everything the press said Trump is, dishonest, egotistical, crazy, tired, it's actually what Biden is, and they covered it up. We had a corpse's staff running the White House for years, and the Democrats and the media hid it until debate night.
Covered it all up, says Jesse. 50 insiders informing this WSJ piece. The Democrats finally, leaking like a sieve, as he says there, finally telling the truth. Biden can no longer help them or hurt them. So they throw him under the bus and they say, yeah, we got it wrong. But don't worry, we're going to be a lot tougher on Trump. How convenient. You can't make this up. Miranda Devine, Joe Biden has been president in name only since he was inaugurated. That's the truth. That's the truth. This is from the New York Post yesterday. It says, as if his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and refusal ever to acknowledge responsibility weren't bad enough, now we learn that Joe Biden forced grieving military families to wait for hours on the tarmac of Dover Air Force Base while he took a nap on Air Force One. It says, we already knew that he had continually checked his watch and talked about himself when he met the relatives of 13 military members killed by a suicide bomber during the chaotic evacuation from Kabul in August 2020. But this new report adds an extra layer of callousness to the story. He was so enfeebled, he had to take a nap. When you've got the family members of victims in a suicide bombing, U.S. military personnel, As Joe Obama, that would be the dear leader, Barack Obama, behind the scenes was saying, hey, let's get out as fast as possible. We'll hand it over to Taliban, leave all of the military hardware, no problem. I mean, that's what you do. Give Panama Canal back to Panama. Give Iran, I mean, piles of cash. Give the Taliban U.S. weaponry. Just give everything away. What a difference. You see now side by side, compare all of that I just said there with Donald Trump tweeting out, enough, we're getting ripped off in Panama. It's going to stop. It's going to stop on day one. There's some leadership there. And you can see why people are saying the golden age is upon us. God would say it's a resurgence. And he would add, it's just temporary. So don't get too excited. This is temporary. And it's to give you one final opportunity. I'm giving you one more pass. But this is it. Here's your opportunity to turn to God in repentance and faith. It says here, Biden has long been renowned for being late for everything. Well before the onset of his cognitive decline, world leaders at the G20 summit last month finally tired of waiting and took their group photo without him. This is unbelievable. If anything said lame duck, it was their contemptuous disregard for the so-called leader of the free world. But Biden has been a lame duck his entire presidency. It says here, the thoughtless 3-hour delay of the dignified transfer ceremony at Dover is simply emblematic of his reign. Miranda Devine, she says now that he is no longer powerful, his bumbling, stumbling, mumbling senility is suddenly newsworthy. No matter that this newspaper consistently charted his decline in real time, only to be accused by the White House of ageism and cheap fakes. Now we're supposed to be shocked. You see, now we're supposed to be shocked by the bombshell that the White House was hiding the problems. The worst scandal in White House history is the worst held secret in Washington. They lie to your face. They know you know they're lying to your face, and they still lie to your face. The worst kept secret in Washington. And it was also the worst scandal, perhaps in presidential history. These are the Orwellian times we're living in. Just take what we say as the truth. Do not question. And then when we finally come around and change course or pivot, we just move on. We don't need to apologize. We don't need to show any remorse or certainly not any repentance. We just dust off and carry on. Move forward. And that's what they're doing. The worst scandal in White House history. A few emails to begin with, or end with, I should say. I say begin because this is the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. This feels like the start of the show. This is in response to Lee Smith's visit on December 11th. It says, this was my favorite interview on the Trumpet Daily so far. Lee Smith was he has a certain insight that I find very unusual. His sense of Obama being the leader of the deep state and not afraid to say it. An un-American leader who will not follow the norms of past presidents. And, you know, like leave Washington, says his comment about how he felt Obama did want Kamala to run. But now that she has lost covering his tracks by letting people think he was against her. Excellent guest. That was Lee Smith from December 11. We had him on the Trumpet Daily December 11 and December 12. If you want to scroll through some of those programs at rumble.com and watch either of those interviews, and both of those were watched by a significant or a large audience as well. Another one says, what Lee Smith said about Obama's speech, his speech giving is exactly what I thought about it. I don't know why everyone was so impressed with his pregnant pauses. They bored me. Never listened to him more than 2 minutes. He had some pretty sharp rebuke for Obama's speaking. I mean, it's obviously worsened since God has silenced him. But still, even going back to the glory days for Obama, when everyone swooned, when everyone worshiped him, Lee Smith was not impressed. If you'd like to email the show, by the way, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Also, I mentioned the Rumble channel earlier, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. If you do go there, give us the thumbs up. You can send a comment or post a comment there at the Rumble channel. We sometimes read a few of those as well as those emails that come in, but we'd love to hear from you in the days and weeks ahead. Another one writes, great interview with Lee Smith. Thanks so very much. Another one says, very good and detailed interview. Keep up the great work. This one writes, interesting that Mr. Smith recognizes what the Trumpet has been proclaiming, that Obama was the leader of the attack against Donald Trump. Obama is the political Antiochus. I mean, this story is told in riveting detail here in this book, America Under Attack. We don't charge anything for this one either. No cost, no obligation. The 800 number, just call our operators and request America Under Attack today. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. One more says here, as I and my husband are watching the TD this morning, tears are welling up in our eyes. How can people not see prophecy is being fulfilled and orchestrated beautifully by God? It says, sadly, so many eyes and hearts are closed. Prayerfully, hearts will be opened soon. And we're praying for godly repentance for thousands. Well, ultimately for millions and millions, if you see the big picture. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show. And Richard Palmer will be with you tomorrow.